6 of the Avastin podcasts concerning the consequences of the judgment. The immediate position is that the pharmaceutical companies would be entitled to seek permission to appeal the judgment of the Supreme Court, having been refused permission by the Court of Appeal. It remains to be seen whether such an application is made. The Supreme Court would be prepared to grant permission. However, NHS bodies are entitled to proceed on the basis that the law has been correctly set out by the decision of the Court of Appeal, unless and until any decision of the Supreme Court reaches a different conclusion. Even then, by that stage, given that NICE has come out of the clinical case for using Avastin for wet AMD patients, and the fact that the Secretary of State has indicated in the Court of Appeal that the NHS bodies should be able to use Avastin for wet AMD patients, the UK is likely to be free of EU restrictions by the date of any Supreme Court judgment, the whole issue may become academic. Subject to any arrangements in the future UK-EU relationship, it would be entirely possible for the government to pass regulations in order to allow the NHS to continue to treat wet AMD patients using Avastin, even if the Supreme Court were to indicate that this was not possible under EU law as properly understood. That would mean that the NHS could provide Avastin to wet AMD patients, just as they're regularly treated in this way in the United States, in many other countries of the world, and indeed in many other EU countries. Significant that the position of the Secretary of State in the Court of Appeal was that NHS bodies ought to be able to use Avastin to treat wet AMD patients, subject only to the introduction of a prior prescription system. Accordingly, even if the pharmaceutical companies were to appeal this decision to the Supreme Court, and depending on the precise terms of any ruling, there must be a strong case that the government can be expected to legislate to ensure that this practice is able to continue. That should give some reassurance to NHS bodies to allow them to quickly move to adopt policies along the lines followed by the CCGs in the northeast of England. NHS bodies that need specific advice on this issue are invited to contact Ben Connor at Landmark Chambers, who will be able to refer them to specialist counsel who can provide detailed advice on these issues. At present, a prior prescription system is needed before Avastin can be lawfully compounded in an NHS pharmacy. This requirement applies if the drug is compounded in a hospital pharmacy for use within the hospital itself, or is compounded in a different hospital pharmacy which is preparing compounded Avastin on a larger scale. Although the details need to be worked out in each individual case, this should not present an insuperable barrier, because the drug is provided on a repeat basis, often at monthly intervals, to a stable cohort of patients. Accordingly, when the ophthalmologist first discusses the choice of drug with the patient, if the patient chooses to be treated with Avastin, it will be necessary for the ophthalmologist to sign a prescription for the patient and then communicate the existence of that prescription to the compounder. Hospitals are likely to have an established cohort of wet AMD patients who are receiving treatment at regular intervals, where prescriptions are written for future treatment for these patients. The compounding pharmacy does not need to see the prescriptions. It just needs to be assured that these prescriptions are in existence prior to carrying out the process of compounding and then supplying the drug to the hospital. These prescriptions are generated electronically. This should not present significant difficulties in practice once a proper system has been set up. There are some difficult questions about the extent to which any savings from this policy should accrue to the benefit of the CCG, or should be passed on to the trust, or whether there should be a risk share agreement under which the benefits are shared between the CCG and the trust. As most NHS organisations are moving towards integration within an integrated care system, these issues are likely to be less contentious than they would have been when commissioners and providers were working at arm's length in the managed competitive market created by the 2012 Act. Nonetheless, they will need to be carefully considered on a local basis as part of any implementation plan. This judgment presents a substantial opportunity and a substantial challenge for the relatively few NHS pharmacies that are set up to compound Avastin at an industrial scale. It appears inevitable that there will be a substantial increased demand for compounded Avastin from ophthalmologists throughout the NHS, who seek to take advantage of the opportunities provided by this judgment. However, the practical challenges of scaling up production facilities may well be that the present correct focus on dealing with the consequences of the pandemic means that implementation of these changes is delayed until the NHS is through the present crisis. That may well give NHS pharmacies the opportunity to put in place robust plans to meet increased demand. The clinical evidence base supporting the use of Avastin for off-label wet AMD patients was very substantial. However, the situation is not unique. There are a number of other medical conditions where there are both licensed and unlicensed treatments available, often with very significant price differences between the licensed and unlicensed treatments. This judgment emphasises that the licensing conditions imposed in the marketing authorisation are solely related to the activities of those engaged in commercial supply of drugs, but do not impinge on the clinical freedom of doctors to make prescribing decisions or NHS bodies to adopt prescribing policies. There are, however, serious issues about the extent to which a doctor may act in breach of the GMC Code of Practice if a decision is made to offer an unlicensed drug where there is a licensed alternative. These are complex issues which will need to be worked through on a case-by-case basis, but the general approach of the GMC has been demonstrated by its strong approval of prescribing Avastin for wet AMD patients in the present case. However, that approval was grounded in the solid clinical evidence base to support this form of prescribing, and also by the tacit support given to this approach by the NICE guidance. Off-label prescribing in other circumstances may not have the benefit of such a solid evidence base, but nonetheless may be entirely legitimate. There are also some difficult questions about the extent to which the apposite exemption can be relied upon to compound other drugs. Again, this will have to be considered on a case-by-case basis. This judgment is likely to lead to a substantial rethink by NICE. The decisions that Lucentis and Eylea represented cost-effective interventions that the NHS should fund were predicated on the basis that it was unlawful to introduce Avastin as a comparator in that process. That position is no longer the case, and accordingly there must be serious questions as to whether the analysis which led to the technology appraisal guidance which supports the use of Lucentis and Eylea needs to be rethought. An urgent review of those tags appears to be called for. When the original judgment was introduced, estimates were made that the NHS might be able to save £500 million per year by switching patients from Lucentis or Eylea to Avastin. Whilst that may have been an overestimate, it was a figure that was relied upon by the pharmaceutical companies in seeking permission to appeal. Given the enormous financial pressures on the NHS, we would suggest this is an enormously welcome judgment, which clears the way for NHS bodies to make choices about drugs based on their assessment of the clinical effectiveness and cost-effectiveness of the drug in question, unrestrained by choices made by pharmaceutical companies as to which drugs are put through the EMA process for which groups of patients. Thus, in strategic terms, this judgment represents a significant move of decision-making power away from the pharmaceutical companies and towards NHS bodies. Can we thank you for taking time to listen to this podcast? If you have any further queries arising out of this case, please do not hesitate to contact our clerks at Landmark Chambers. Our contact is Mr. Ben Connor on 0207 430 1221. Many thanks.